Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron McCready.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. A showdown brewing in Maine with a nurse who dealt with Ebola patients in West Africa. Everyone like her is being strongly advised to go into what Maine calls voluntary quarantine for 3 weeks, and if they don't...
We will immediately seek a court order to ensure that they do not make contact with the public.
State Health Commissioner Mary Mayhew, nurse Casey Hickox, is staying in but has been threatening to go to court to go out after saying she tested negative for Ebola. Add another state with a quarantine requirement. Live in Los Angeles, Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal.
Ron, the California Public Health Department says people coming in from certain West African countries who came into contact with someone who had Ebola will experience some level of quarantine for 21 days. How limited each person is will be determined on a case-by-case basis. There are no known cases in California, but Riverside County's Disease Control Director Barbara Cole says they've been monitoring two people for approximately 2 weeks.
We're not delineating each step, but we are maintaining contact twice a day for 21 days.
And you wouldn't say why they're just releasing this information now, Ron.
Jessica, baseball's World Series ends tonight, but who wins? Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso, live in Kansas City.
Just ahead of the first pitch, and you can feel it, Ron, a sense that something special is about to happen.
Scary and exciting and nervous.
I've come to a lot of Royals games over my life, and I've never seen nothing like this before. Never.
Royals and Giants fans here also with their own opinions of how it ends tonight, but KC might have history on their side. The last nine World Series Game 7s have been won by the home team, a streak that San Francisco intends to break, Ron.
Jeff, the Dow fell 31 points after the Federal Reserve announced it is ending 6 years of bond buying that was used to help prop up the economy. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This, Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
Walmart presents Be Ready for the Office Coffer.
Every office has one. That awesome guy who's so committed that he comes to work even when he's sick. So you get to share much more than just email.
Be prepared with 19-ounce Lysol disinfectant spray for $4.97, 80-count Lysol wipes for $4.63, and two packs of 12-ounce NyQuil DayQuil severe cold and flu on rollback for $13.79.
Walmart shopper one, coughing guy zero.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. Time for Watch This, Not That. In theaters now, Annabelle and the Judge. In Annabelle, a creepy doll comes to life and terrorizes an innocent family. In The Judge, the great Robert Duvall is still alive and terrorizes a bunch of lawyers. So go see The Judge and not Annabelle. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
President Obama may not want extra quarantines for doctors and nurses treating Ebola patients in West Africa, but for the military, it's a different matter.
Announcing a major shift in Ebola policy, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said the Pentagon is moving forward with plans for a 21-day symptom monitoring period.
For our men and women who would be returning from West Africa.
Secretary Hagel has ordered the Joint Chiefs to come up with the specifics on how the monitoring will work within 2 weeks. The Army had already announced it would impose such a policy. This new order applies to all branches of the military. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
Hackers have found their way into computers used by President Obama's senior advisors.
There is an ongoing effort to evaluate that activity and to mitigate the risk associated with that activity.
Spokesman Josh Earnest says it's been limited to material that is unclassified and that the hacker has not been identified. Residents on New York's Long Island thought it was some sort of joke. Instead, it turned out to be an awful crime.
Witnesses say they saw Derek Ward drag the bleeding, headless body of his mother, Patricia, down the steps of their Farmingdale, New York apartment building and onto the street, where he then kicked her head some 20 feet. They initially thought it was a Halloween prank until discovering they couldn't lift the body. Derek Ward then died after jumping in front of a Long Island Railroad commuter train. 66-year-old Patricia Ward, described as a popular longtime language arts professor at the State University of New York's Farmingdale campus. Her 35-year-old son had a history of psychiatric problems and previous drug and weapons arrests, but no known ties to terrorism. Jay Nutzler, Fox News Radio.
Threatening lava flow continues on Hawaii's Big Island. Some residents of Pahoa have moved to a town 14 miles away. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome to the big show, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. We've got a great show for you today, and I'm excited about our guest we have that I'm going to introduce in just a minute. But just a quick program note, tomorrow, you don't want to miss this show either. Tomorrow, at 9 o'clock Eastern Time tomorrow, we are going to have Andrew Hunt on. He is the Libertarian candidate for governor for the great state of Georgia. But right now on the Newsmaker line, I am very pleased to have United States Senate candidate from the great state of Georgia for the Libertarian Party, Amanda Swofford. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Well, no, thank you for coming on. I just wanted to, I know we just have a few minutes, but just really quick, you know, why did you decide to run for the United States Senate? Because it's not something that someone would just wake up one morning and decide, seems like a good idea to run for the United States Senate, one of the, one of the most prestigious bodies of, that we have in government. So why did you decide to run?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I have experience in local government. I was most recently elected on the Flowery Branch City Council here in Georgia. And so after serving on in local government, as a libertarian, we are really restricted here in Georgia in terms of the offices that we can run for in many ways because of Georgia's very egregious ballot access laws. But one thing that the Libertarian Party in Georgia has is statewide ballot access. And those offices are open to us, presumably because the major parties believe that we don't have a chance to win any of those offices, and so they have the restrictions for those open a little bit easier for third-party candidates. And so looking at those races, you just begin to look at the U.S. Senate race and begin to understand how many of the things that I was able to accomplish on the local government level really need some, could use some benefit to Washington.
Well, you know, I think, you know, and for people listening to us, and I'm sure you're well aware of this more than anyone else, but the balance of power in Washington, D.C. and the Senate could very well come down to Georgia and really to this race and your role in this race. Because if we go into a runoff and you pull votes from either Purdue or none, that's going to, and it, say it's, you know, well, the balance of power in the Senate could come to Georgia if it's going to be a Democratic Senate or a Republican Senate. Are you prepared for that, or is that in the forefront of your mind?
Well, you know, it really, to libertarians, makes no difference who controls the Senate, because we've seen instances where one party has been in control of all levels of government, and we still don't get any major reform that we've been promised. And when the other party gets to be in control, we don't get the reform that we need either. And I'm sure the same arguments that we're hearing right now about how this is the most crucial election in terms of who's going to decide control of the Senate, we will be hearing again in 2016. It will be the same argument that we will always be hearing. It doesn't really matter in the minds of independent voters and libertarians which party controls the Senate, because we know that both parties have been trying to control us and make decisions in our lives for decades.
Right. You know, it amazes me that, you know, you look at the Republicans, Democrats, and when they look at the, you know, the free market, you know, they think competition is a good thing. But then when it comes to a third party and more competition for them to get new ideas out there, to really make things more equal, you know, it amazes me that they're so against that, but yet they want competition. I mean, does that
sure.
make sense to you? I mean, it's
sure.
you know,
it
viable third
does.
Party is needed, yeah.
I think that's why in Georgia we have ballot access laws that prohibit us from really getting on the ballot in the smaller local races where independent and third-party candidates could really win those races and have an impact, a substantial impact on those races. And we have easier time to get on the ballot in statewide races where it's much, much harder, and you have to have a tremendous number of resources in order to win those races.
Well, you know, I want to touch base on, you know, some of the things that you stand for also, because one thing, I was at the Perry debate there, and that was a scene to behold, and I it must have been something being up there, because it was, you know, just the environment and the electricity going through the room. I mean, it was amazing, and I had the opportunity with Greg Williams and Charles Hoard and myself. We were the only ones broadcasting live before the debate, and it was really like a big heavyweight fight. And I tell you, you know, some of the things that you said up there, you know, really made sense to me. You know, limited government, that you hear the same thing from both parties, whether it's Republican or Democrat. But, you know, one thing that also strikes me with you, and I think it's on your webpage, AmandaSwafford.net, is a personal responsibility and individual freedom. Can you talk about that a little bit, what you believe with that?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, it's so critical, really, not only in terms of how I view government, but a philosophy of how I live my life. And I think a lot of times when we're talking about libertarianism, it's really, to some extent, a lifestyle choice of deciding, you know, that you're going to take personal responsibility for the things that are in your life and how you're going to live your life. You're not going to look to government to be the champion of your causes. You are the one that is responsible for advancing your career, for making the decisions in your family, and for getting things done. And ultimately, that's where it comes down to, whether it's finding out information you need to know to prepare yourself for the next storm that's coming in, or, you know, whether it's preparing for retirement. I mean, it's across all levels. Any issue that you're really looking at that faces our country today, I think, can really be parsed down to personal responsibility and having the individual involved in making the decision in terms of what's going to be necessary to prepare and be in a better position. Because ultimately, when the individual is involved, you're going to have more control over everything that happens. When you cede control to the government, you lose so much power in order to make decisions. You become ineffective in many ways.
You know, and it's just causing a culture of people to just to rely on government, because that's what, you know, the politicians in Washington that's been there year after year, the only thing they want, to me it seems, is to get reelected, and they're willing to give up, you know, give things to individuals to make them more rely on government so they keep so they keep voting them into office. At some point, this has got to stop.
Sure, sure. You know, and personally, I saw that in my own experience in local government. You know, there were some tough votes that we had to take. You know, I came in on a special election, and I was only on the council for 1 year before I had to face election for the full term. And I knew some of those votes because we were doing things that were cutting back government. And, you know, in a culture where government continues to grow and it goes against the grain to fight the growth of government, you are not going to be a favorite, to say the least, among some interest. And it's always harder to get people involved that, you know, want to reduce government. It's far easier to encourage people that want to have government grow to be involved and to come and show up to the polls. So particularly in many situations, there were a number of votes that I can look back on and know that, you know, I was making those votes fully aware of the fact that re-election could be an issue. And in fact, you know, I ended up losing my re-election on the city council. And there are some reasons that could be looked at, some of those votes, because I stood up against the tide of growing government in our city.
Wow. Well, you know, we need more people like that in government that will stand up, that won't look at polls, that does what they believe is right. And, you know, if we had more people like that, the country would be in a much better situation than we're in right now. And, I mean, Look at the health care. We've got this big debacle with Obamacare, the biggest, I think, reach of big government in the history of the United States. And you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe we may agree with this, we may not, I don't know, but, you know, we need to focus maybe more on health savings accounts, putting people more in charge of their health care where they have a vested interest in it, because the government, you know, doesn't know what's best for me and you. Only me and you know what's best for me and you.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I was personally one of the early adopters of the health savings account. I mean, I loved them when they first came out. I mean, they make so much sense all across the board. I mean, I think we definitely need to go to a single payer in the healthcare system as long as that single payer is the individual. It makes so much more sense when you are personally invested in your healthcare in such a way that you determine where your dollars are spent, because you are going to be so much more powerful in making sure those dollars are accounted for than someone who doesn't even know where those dollars are going or where they're coming from or how they're being spent.
Well, you know, one last question, and then I'll let you go. I know you've got a busy time. The election's, I mean, next Tuesday, and you've been gracious enough to come on this close to the election, and I really appreciate that. But, you know, what are your, if by chance you you do not win this election and it does go into a runoff or even not a runoff, what are your plans? Because one thing that concerns me, I think the Libertarian Party is great, but one thing I think, especially in Georgia, and of course you've said some of the obstacles that the Libertarian Party faces, but there's really not someone that, you know, the average everyday person walking down the street could name and recognize with the Libertarian Party. It seems that someone runs for office under the Libertarian name and a big office like the United States Senate, but then they just disappear. And I really hope that you know, you don't disappear, that you stay fighting for what you believe, stay on the forefront. And I really believe that, you know, if it does come down to a runoff, that you'll be in a great position to put those libertarian values and beliefs forefront, and hopefully you'll stay in political life and keep running in the future.
Sure. You know, I mean, I've been in politics for so long. I think if you really have a passion for making our country better and watching out to make sure that our leaders are doing the right thing, I don't think that passion ever leaves you. You know, there'll definitely be some time that will need to be taken for some rest, because running a campaign, any campaign, always is very taxing. But when you're doing it as a third party on a significant level like United States Senate and working a full-time job that I've been doing as well, it is definitely something that will require a period of time of rest and relaxation for sure. But once that's done with, you know, I definitely intend to stay engaged. I mean, that is one of the hallmarks, I think, of something that does set me apart, because after I lost my re-election on the city council, I stayed engaged, and I went to several meetings, many, many meetings after I lost on city council, and stayed involved, you know, to hold our officials accountable, because I was still a citizen living in the city, and I had a tremendous background and knowledge of what the council knew, and I wanted to make sure that the things that we had implemented in the council stayed there, and things were done very well, as much as they could be, even though I had left the council. So that's very, very important. And, you know, going forward, we definitely have to look at ways we can do to increase the viability of a third party here in Georgia, because there's no doubt that through this campaign, we have definitely seen a growing need for an alternative to the two-party system here in Georgia.
Well, you know, I could not have said that any better myself. And one final question, I can't help to ask this, and this isn't so much on politics, but it's more the environment of the debates. Which did you prefer more, the debate in Perry, where you had thousands of people in that room cheering and hollering and carrying on after everything everyone said. And by the way, for those of you out there that did not get to hear this, and being there in person, Amanda, every time you said something, I would look around and there would be Democrats with Michelle Nunn signs cheering for you, and then I would look over and there would be David Perdue people with signs cheering for you all at the same time. So which is better an environment for you, something like that live in front of people and getting that instant reaction from the crowd, or more of like a studio debate? Which is better?
I definitely cherished the time in Perry. I think that environment was just so exhilarating. You know, and to be able to do something like that, I mean, you know, it just feels like this is an amazing experience. And it just is a testament to what we can do in this country when we really try. I mean, if you had told me in school that I would ever be running for United States Senate, no one would ever believe you. I was the shyest kid in school. But I have worked so hard and put my efforts where they needed to be and put the priorities on what needed to be there. And to go out on that stage in Perry and to do the debate in the way that I did it in that crowd, you know, it was just an amazing experience. And to know that many people cared enough to come out to Perry and listen to candidates speak about issues that were important, it really gives you a renewed sense that there is optimism in this country, that we can get back on the right direction that we need to go. So I loved Perry. It was wonderful, and I hope someday to have another opportunity to go back and participate again.
Well, I think you will. And, you know, the people that were at Perry, that says a lot for them, because it's not like for anybody Perry is next door. You actually have to travel to get to Perry, no matter where you're at in Georgia. But Amanda Swofford, you are welcome back here on the show anytime. I really appreciate your time, and good luck next Tuesday. And feel free to come back anytime. And I do not think that we have heard the last of you. I think you've got bright, bright things in politics in your future, and I appreciate everything that you stand for.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much again for having us. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Amanda Swofford. She is running for United States Senate in our great state of Georgia. And Election Day is coming up this coming Tuesday. So make sure, you know, and one thing that you always hear me say, whether you're going to vote Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, write someone in, at least go vote. Do your research and vote for what you believe in. That's what people died for in this country, to give us that right to go and make decisions and have a really say in this country. This isn't the government's country. This isn't Barack Obama's country. This isn't your congressman's country. This is your country. We're the ones that put them in office. We're the ones that are their employers. I want to say that again. We are their employers. They're our employees. We pay their salaries. We put them there, and by gosh, we can take them out. But one thing that we really need to look at is, if you look across the nation at the approval rating of Congress, my goodness, it's so dismal. I mean, it's in the teens. The approval rating of Congress is in the teens, but then if you go to the average everyday Joe Blow on the street and ask them how their congressman or woman is doing, oh, they're doing a great job for me. Overwhelmingly, you hear that. But then they have such dismal ratings. So, you know, I think we need to take a hard look at ourselves on who we're hiring for these jobs. And that's what we're doing. We're hiring for these jobs. And that's how we need to take a look at it. This is our business. This is our country. We live it. We breathe it every single day. And we really need to focus on who's going to office. And then you have people like Amanda Swofford. You know, I've publicly endorsed David Perdue on this show, because I think he has the best chance of winning. He'll have the biggest impact for Georgia of the candidates. But you have Amanda Swofford, who's not afraid to go out there and vote how she sees fit, not how political people are telling her to vote, not how lobbyists are telling her to vote, how she feels what is right. And we need more people like that. And she did very well for herself in Perry when I was there, in that environment. And I still have not. I promised I would post that on my website. The show with Greg Williams, Charles Horde, myself, and Jeff Breedlove, too. But, and my apologies for Jeff Breedlove for not even mentioning his name, so I do apologize for that. But we were all there, and I'll tell you, it was like college game day, ESPN game day. It was amazing. We were the only ones broadcasting live before the debate. It was, sometimes it was just deafening, the noise in there. You had, to our left was mainly, to the right on the screen as you're looking, but to our left, mainly Michelle Nunn supporters. Then you look, and then to our right was David Perdue supporters. They were chanting back and forth. There were actually a couple fights that even broke out on the floor there. And it's an arena type, so you had the seats going up. It was just deafening sometimes. And then every time the candidate spoke, and we'll talk about this tomorrow with our guest that's coming on, but it was wild. There's no words for it. And to get that reaction from the crowd immediately, I'm sure it was nerve-wracking for the people up there, but it was a thrill of a lifetime to go. We'll go again, I'm sure. But anyways, enough of that. 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400 if you want to call into the show. We'll talk about politics. We got Election Day coming up just on Tuesday, and hopefully you will go out and vote. You know, like I said, people have died for you to have this right to go vote, whether you're in Georgia, whether you're in Mississippi, whether you're in Texas, whether you're in Oklahoma, California, wherever. Make sure you go vote on Tuesday. It's very, very important to the continuation of our country and to the people that we put in office. But Andrew Hunt will be on tomorrow. We're going to ask him some of the same questions. He's running for governor. He was at the debates also with Jason Carter. That's Jimmy Carter's grandson running for Democratic side. And then Nathan Deal, the current governor of Georgia, was the Republican. And like I said, Andrew Hunt was the Libertarian. He'll be on the show tomorrow, the same time. And I look forward to speaking with him. But, you know, coming up in the second half of the show, we're really going to break down some issues throughout the nation. We're really going to break down this election. We're going to look at the polls for Georgia. A lot of our listeners are based in Georgia. And we're really going to look at that and break that down. But 646-200-3400, if you want to be a caller on the show, you can also go to our chat room. It's blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready. Would love to have you there. You can also go to AaronMcCready.com. You can view some of the episodes, previous episodes there. You can also check out showtimes. You can actually send me an email from there. But if you'd like to, and my email address directly, it's Aaron@AaronMcCready.com. You also follow me on Twitter @AaronMcCready. You can tweet me. You can follow me. You can whatever you want to. Fuss at me, whatever. I read all the tweets that come my way and respond to every single one. So if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to. But, you know, one thing that, and we're going to talk about this here in a few minutes too, but one thing that drives me crazy with the Republican Party, and from what I've seen here in Georgia, is it seems like, and really nationwide, that there's no fight in the Republican Party. And I'm going to give you some examples of this in the next half hour of the show. But, you know, we want to win these elections. We want to fight for principles as Republicans, but yet we're not taking the Democrats to task on a lot of it. We say we're trying to be positive, but being positive and not holding people accountable, you know, you can be positive and still hold people accountable. Doesn't mean you have to ignore the issues. My goodness, this is our country. These are our neighbors that we're fighting for these ideas for. Don't you think it's worth something if we get the message out there, if we hold these people accountable? We're going to talk about that a little bit more, a little bit later on. We're going to go to news. Stay with us. We'll join you on the other half of the news in just a moment.
Aaron McCready.
Fox Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. The state of Maine says it may have to go to court to enforce what it calls a voluntary quarantine as an anti-Ebola precaution. Nurse Casey Hickox there says she is Ebola-free after coming back this month from West Africa and that she may have to go to court so she can leave her home. At issue is Maine's call for doctors and nurses just back from the Ebola zone.
Stay in their home voluntarily during the period that they are at some risk. We will take additional measures and pursue appropriate authority.
Maine's state health director, Mary Mayhew. The nation's most populous state is now imposing a similar requirement. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal explains live from Los Angeles.
There are no known cases of Ebola here in California, but the state public health department says anyone coming in from affected West African countries who had contact with someone who has the disease will experience some level of quarantine for 21 days. Riverside County's disease control director, Barbara Cole, says they've been monitoring two people for approximately 2 weeks now.
There's no link between the two of them. They had no known exposure during their travels to anyone that was ill with Ebola.
But she would not explain why they're just announcing now that they've been monitoring two people, Ron.
Jessica, after 7 months, the baseball season comes down to one game, the deciding game, 7 of the World Series, just a few minutes away in Kansas City.
The hometown crowd here at Kay Stadium hoping that tonight will be their night. But the Giants fans here from around the country are just as excited, hoping for their third championship in 5 years. San Francisco betting on Kim Hudson, who takes the mound against the Royals' Jeremy Guthrie. Electric is an understatement to describe the way it feels here just ahead of the first pitch.
Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This, Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
Walmart presents Be Ready for the Office Coffer.
Every office has one. That awesome guy who's so committed that he comes to work even when he's sick. So you get to share much more than just email.
Be prepared with 19-ounce Lysol disinfectant spray for $4.97, 80-count Lysol wipes for $4.63, and two packs of 12-ounce NyQuil DayQuil severe cold and flu on rollback for $13.79.
Walmart shopper one, coughing guy zero.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. Time for Watch This, Not That. In theaters now, Annabelle and the Judge. In Annabelle, a creepy doll comes to life and terrorizes an innocent family. In The Judge, the great Robert Duvall is still alive and terrorizes a bunch of lawyers. So go see The Judge and not Annabelle. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
Lava from the Kilauea volcano keeps getting closer to homes on Hawaii's Big Island.
I'm standing here at Pahoa Village Road, where officers blocked off this residential area to the public. Right now, only the officials and the folks who live here can go beyond this point. I'm told that the lava is about 280 yards away from this road, and it's traveling at an average speed of 10 yards per hour. Officials say there is a breakout to this flow, and that lava is about 100 feet away from the nearest home.
Sarah Yoro from Fox TV station KHON in Pahoa, Hawaii. Egyptian authorities want residents to get out of a zone along the Gaza border so they may set up a security buffer after last week's militant attack killed 30 Egyptian soldiers.
There's still a bit we don't quite know about how it would be set up or how it would look.
The State Department's Jen Psaki. The buffer zone would extend 9 miles along the border and be about a quarter mile wide. The explosion last night in Virginia of a private spacecraft just after it was launched not only destroyed 2.5 tons of experiments and supplies, it damaged the reputation of the company looking after the launch, Orbital Sciences.
A big afternoon conference call with investors meant to reassure them that the company is solid and that space flight is inherently risky, even though stock has plummeted $300 million since last night. All this has now grounded Orbital. It would have been Orbital's fourth resupply mission to the space station last night in its $2 billion eight-mission NASA contract. So this now leaves SpaceX as the only American commercial space company flying cargo up to the space station, and it's renewed questions about relying on private space companies. Remember, by 2017, Boeing and SpaceX are supposed to be hauling astronauts up to the space station.
Fox's Phil Keating in Miami. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 31 points. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome back to the show. I am Aaron McCready. Great to have you back with us. If you're just joining us, well, you missed Amanda Swofford. She is the Libertarian candidate in the state of Georgia for the United States Senate. Got some good insights from her, why she decided to run, and also, you know, she's not afraid to stand up for her beliefs, even if it means she may or may not get reelected. And, you know, that's really what we need. And just to backtrack real quick, and we'll move on with the show, and just want to let you know why this election is so important and why in the state of Georgia could make a big difference that we have an independent candidate. 646-200-3400. Give us a call, and we'll get you right on. But if you're also interested in the World Series, it is the top of the fourth between the Giants and the Royals, and it is tied at two. So the 2-2 at the top of the fourth, and this is game seven. So whoever wins this wins it all. So good luck to whichever team. The Braves aren't in it, so actually 3-2 Giants lead. So, hey, you know, whoever wins, no big deal. It's not the Braves. I don't care. But right now the polling, and there's a Rasmussen poll that came out, and they did it between the 25th and 27th of this month, so just a few days ago, and it is actually tied. Purdue 48%, none 48%. Now, for those of you outside Georgia listening, unless a candidate gets 50% plus one person or one vote, it goes into a runoff between the top two vote-getters. Now, I believe, and I don't have this in front of me, but if my memory serves me correctly, the run-up will be on January 6th, I believe. January 6th. Now, why is this a big deal? The balance of power right now in the Senate is so close, and with all the elections so close, it could come down to Georgia, and Georgia could decide, okay, are we going to have a Republican Senate, or are we going to have a Democratic Senate? Now, where Amanda Swofford comes into play, she is independent, and she's taking votes from either the Republicans or the Democrats. Now, typically, especially libertarians, they typically pull votes more from conservatives. And I'll tell you why. Because Democrats believe in big government. They want people on the government dime, you know, more reliant on government. So, you know, it's like leeches bleeding us all dry. And what do leeches do? They in the end, kill their host, and then they move on to another host. Libertarians believe in limited government. Republicans want limited government. So if libertarians are going to take from one or the other, they're probably going to take from Purdue. Amanda Swofford's probably going to take some votes from David Perdue. Now, let me tell you this also. There's a bright side to this. Downside is that we're not going to know, and I'm willing to bet on come Tuesday night, we will not know who our next senator from Georgia is because it's going to go in a runoff. And I should have asked Amanda Swofford if she had considered dropping out of the race and endorsing one or the other. I wish I would have asked her that. But I didn't. But anyhow, the bright side to this, after the millions of dollars that they're going to spend, and then the eye of the country could very well be on Georgia, and then we see all these top names. Well, gosh, that means we got to put up with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton will probably come and campaign for none. Oh, heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. But anyhow, besides Bill Clinton, I'm not going to let him ruin the show. Besides Bill Clinton and all the people coming down here and Georgia's in the limelight. If the think about this. If the Libertarian pulls votes from the Republican, when there's a runoff and there's no Libertarian, those Libertarian votes, in theory, would go back to the Republican, right? So if we go into a runoff election and it's so close as this report from Rasmussen I have here, 48 and 48, Purdue and none, in a tie. I'm looking here for the margin of error, and I don't see the margin of error on my sheet here. But, oh, actually, margin of error, 3 points. So it could go up or down 3 points. There's an Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It was ran between the 16th of October and the 23rd of October. It had Purdue up 44 and none to none's 42. Now, if you're looking at this, 44 and 42, you still don't get 50, plus you have to have one vote. Even in the current Rasmussen, you have 48 and 48. So still, you're not at 50. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how much Amanda Swofford pulls from either David Perdue or Michelle Nunn, because they're not hitting either one the 50. We're actually coming to 96%. So in theory, you would think that she's okay. She's pulling 4% of the vote away. WSB-TV here in Atlanta, back on the 20th and 21st, 47 and 47 Purdue and none. That would be 6% of the vote that she's pulling. So now my producer over here is saying he's saying I'm using Common Core methods to solve this problem. Now maybe I am, and I'm no fan of Common Core, but hey, it is what it is, right? Maybe in my warped mind it seems like Common Core, but my warped mind doesn't work for everybody else, I promise. And I have a warped mind. You know, it keeps going and going. It's so exhausting. You know, those of you out there that, you know, sometimes are quiet or are always thinking, it really is exhausting, isn't it? Your just mind keeps going and going and going and going. You can't sleep. It's just it really is a curse sometimes. But anyways, besides that, we'll get back to this. So my point is, Amanda Swofford could really pull quite a bit away from Purdue and none, and calls us to go into a runoff, and we're not going to know the senator from Georgia. Best case scenario, until January 6th. Now, if it's still close and we have to have a recount, and that's entirely possible also, we may not know for a while. 646-200-3400 if you want to give the show a call. 646-200-3400. So, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, on a side note here, and then we'll get back into this this election mumbo jumbo. Did you hear about the guy in Roswell, New Mexico? This is hilarious. Roswell, New Mexico. This is a guy. He called 911, right? Okay, he called 911. And Aaron Burrell. Anyway, he has a great name, Aaron. He's 37 years old, and so he called 911, but get this, he butt-dialed 911. He accidentally called 911 in his pocket. Now, you know, that's okay. I'm sure this happens all the time, but what 911 overheard was him acknowledging and telling somebody that he was confessing to a robbery. He detailed how the burglary happened, how three people got away from the cops. It was all detailed in the call, and it went on for 45 minutes. This conversation went on for 45 minutes, and the dispatchers listened in for 45 minutes. And 911 calls, of course, were recorded. So this went on for 45 minutes. An officer was sent to the address. Roswell spokesperson Todd Wildermuth said, an officer was sent to the address that they mentioned to check on the house, and found indeed that it had been burglarized. I mean, can you imagine butt dialing someone and them hearing, oh, well, 911, and hearing, oh, yeah, we robbed the place. Oops. It makes you want to, you know, next time you're going to, for all you dumb criminals out there listening to the program, and I know all of you are not dumb, and none of you are criminals, but next time you're going to confess to a crime, make sure you take your phone out of your pocket, please. I'm just saying. Make sure you take your phone out of your pocket before you confess to a crime, just so you don't butt dial the police. Obviously, it happens in Roswell, New Mexico, right? Right, sorry, had to drink water there. But, you know, before we went to news, I was saying how the Republicans have no fight in them. I'm going to give you an example here, how the Republicans have no fight. The Republican Party needs to get some cojones and stand up for what the Republican Party is evidently, they say they believe in. Whether it's national party, a state party. Now, you know, right now, the Democrats and Republicans will have you convinced that they're trying to fight for the American people because you get some, you know, they're trying to fight for the Senate seat. And you got all these commercials, you know, none, Purdue, none, Purdue, none, Purdue, Purdue, none, whatever. But where it really affects the average everyday Americans, whether it's in a local office or state office, there's no fight in the Republican Party. You can fight and be positive. You know, just because you're fighting and standing up for your ideas and values isn't a negative campaign. You look at people like Casey Cagle. He's the lieutenant governor of the state of Georgia. Look how he ran his campaign when he was in the state legislature. He unseated, when he ran for the state legislature, he unseated a long-time incumbent for the Democrats. He unseated this guy. I'm sure he didn't do it by just, oh, ho-hum-hum, I'm going to put some yard signs out. Oh, ho-hum-ho-hum, I'm going to just pray for the best because I'm the better person and everybody knows that everybody wants to vote Republican. Oh, my district's over 50%. Oh, they'll come out and vote for me if I just lay low, don't talk negative. That doesn't win you elections. That doesn't win you elections. You got to take the fight. This country's worth fighting over. The state is worth fighting over. Your local government is worth fighting over. It affects you. It affects your family. It affects your everyday life. It affects how much money you have in your pocket. It affects your life. Why can't people understand this? Why can't you understand this? And the Republican Party, we have a leader in Washington, D.C. He's called the Speaker of the House, but he's not really speaking a whole heck of a lot, John Boehner. Now, remember when John Boehner said a while back that he's going to sue the president. He's going to, he had announced a plan for a lawsuit against Obama because he was going to restore democracy and save America from the tyranny of the president's lawless dictatorship. Remember that? And a spokesperson for Boehner in this lawsuit, he said, or she said, no decisions on timing at this point have been made. That's actually Kevin Smith, a spokesman for John Boehner. And he would not speculate for reasons for the delay. But get this. The lawsuit was going to seek Obama. So it was going to force Obama to implement the employer mandate before January 1st, 2015. But January 1st, 2015 is among us, and there's no lawsuit filed yet. So see, this is what I mean. I'll talk, but you don't get things done. A big problem. Or sometimes we don't talk at all and just hope for the best. You know, one, if you're in management, if you're in HR, you got to do what you say you're going to do. Because if you don't do what you say you're going to do, then people will run all over you. And that's not just in politics. That's not just in business. That's in your everyday life. Eventually someone's going to know, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not going to pay attention to him. He doesn't. He says it, but he's not going to do anything with it. Like John Boehner here. Speaker of the House, second in line after Obama for the presidency. He says he's going to sue the president. Where's that lawsuit, John Boehner? I would like to know. wouldn't you? I would like to know. Moving on real quick. You guys may have heard. Obama, we're going to talk about the Ebola virus. They both have the same impact. You end up dead. But the Ebola virus, Obama doesn't want us to really do anything. It seems like to me, you look at Obama and he keeps flights coming from the nations in Africa. But then you have Chuck Hagel. I'm going to read you a report here, part of it. It's actually from CBS News. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel on Wednesday approved a recommendation by military leaders that all U.S. troops returning from Ebola response missions in West Africa be kept in supervised isolation for 21 days. Read that one more time. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel on Wednesday approved a recommendation by military leaders that all U.S. troops returning from Ebola response missions in West Africa be kept in supervised isolation for 21 days. And this move goes beyond precautions recommended by the Obama administration for civilians, although President Barack Obama has made clear he feels that the military situation is different from that of civilians, in part because troops are not in West Africa by choice. Now, doesn't that strike you a little bit odd? The move goes, this is from CBS News, the headline, Hagel approves 21-day quarantine for troops returning. The move goes beyond precautions recommended by the Obama administration for civilians, although President Barack Obama has made clear that he feels the military situation is different from that of civilians, in part because troops are not in West Africa by choice. So, the United States government sends you to West Africa, and you come back and you're in quarantine for 21 days so you don't infect the general population. But, oh, you go to volunteer your time in West Africa to help out of the goodness of your heart. You're there by choice. So come on back to the United States. We're not going to put you in a quarantine. We're not going to hold you for 21 days. Come on back. Come on back. You're more than welcome to get the rest of the United States sick. Let's just spread this on around. Show the love. Show the love like you had in West Africa for these people. Show the love for the rest of the United States, and let's share this disease together. I apologize. I'm getting worked up. I need to calm down. Does that make any sense to you? Because the military is over there by choice. He's going to quarantine them for 21 days so he doesn't get other people sick, but then the people that are going over there still infected. It doesn't matter if you're in the military or you're a normal average day American volunteering or actually over there for your job. Last time I checked, Ebola doesn't discriminate whether you're a military member or whether you're a volunteer or it's part of your job. I guess a civilian is the word I'm looking for. Oh my goodness. This president of ours is something else, right? I mean, I wish somebody could explain his reasoning to me, because I sure can't see his reasoning. Maybe I'm too simple-minded. Maybe I'm just a Georgia boy. I don't know. Actually from Virginia. But maybe I'm a Georgia boy now. Maybe I'm simple-minded. You know, one thing when we vote this coming Tuesday, and like I said, whether you vote in Virginia, or whether you vote in Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, wherever, you know, one thing that we need to look at is it's not necessarily who wins the election, it's like the Heritage Foundation says, it's what you do with a political victory that counts. They had an article out, and that's exactly what it's called. heritage.org. It's what you do with a political victory that counts. And, you know, in here, and it's by Genevieve Wood, and she writes, it's a question Republicans should be prepared to answer if they do win in November, especially if they hope to be victorious again in 2016. You know, you go back to 92 and look at Newt Gingrich, another Georgia boy. He was Speaker of the House at the time. He saw this big Republican victory as a call for action, that the country was united around Republicans and that they wanted the Republicans to do something, and he did something. He had the contract with America. Now, what will the Republicans do in 2014 until 2016? They're going to lay back on their laurels, rest back, not do anything? You know, that's not a way to win elections. You got to look at the big picture, not the here and now, the big picture. Do something for the American people that will better people's lives. Make them proud again to live in the United States of America. And I'm not saying people aren't proud. I am certainly proud. The United States of America is still the best country in the world. I would not want to live anywhere else. But make us proud. You know, we are the best country in the world. We need a president. We need a Congress to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we're all that. Yep, we are. And I don't think we have that right now. I mean, you have some, like, you know, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. You have Rand Paul. You know, a handful of others that believe the United States is the most powerful country in the world, the best country to live in, the bastion of freedom and democracy. People still come, you know, people still come from all over the world to live in America, to start a family, to better their children's lives in America, in our country. And it's easy for us to take it for granted because we were born here. And some of you listening maybe were born somewhere else and came here. But we need to get to that point again where we know we're the best place. We're the country that people look up to. People look to for guidance. And look what happens in the Middle East when there's not a role model in the world. I'm not saying be the world's leader, hit everybody over the head with a hammer. I'm just saying be a role model for people to look up to. Give offers, give suggestions. Don't be silent. That's where we get into problems, when we become silent. That's the problem with America. We have too many people that won't stand up. Too many people that, oh, it's not meant for me. You know, back in the Civil War, we had brothers against brothers, daughters against daughters, everybody fighting each other for things they believed in. Now, we're not going to go toward that, I'm not saying. But look at where we came from. People that were willing to die and fight for what they believed in. And we don't have that right now. Oh, it's not for me. Just let them do it. Oh, look at the TV. Oh, let me just sit here and eat my Cheetos and stay on the government dime. And oh, it's not for me. Other people will take care of me. You know, it's been great to be with you today. My special thanks to Amanda Swofford for coming on the show, United States Senate candidate. Tomorrow, we're going to have Andrew Hunt, Libertarian. He's running for governor of the great state of Georgia. We're going to talk to him for a little bit. But remember, you know, Tuesday, make sure you go vote. make sure you go vote on Tuesday. Andrew Hunt will be on the show tomorrow. Thanks again for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll be live with Andrew Hunt. Take care and God bless.